Praise God. Well, I've got a title here, a little bit unusual, but I'm calling this teaching today, "We Are Quite Ignorant of Ourselves." We're quite ignorant of ourselves. And we're going to open up today to show you why we are. And in Mark chapter 4, and Verse 34, Mark 4, we'll go from verse 33, because here Jesus reveals why he speaks, or he spoke, I should say, in parables. There was a reason why Jesus spoke in parables. He didn't particularly say, "Well, I'm going to speak in parables because I want to." No. He's making hearing the word of God, faith, not for everyone. Because the Pharisees are rejecting. They're hardening their heart. And the word of God is too precious. And so he knows that by speaking in parables, and he did interpret the parables, a remnant would understand them. Why? Because flesh and blood does not reveal it. It comes by the Spirit. And here he says, in 33, "And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples." So parables are when you're able to hear it. Did you know that our Heavenly Father loves us so much that he withholds things until we are ready to be able to take it? He's in control of our trials, our testings. When you are able to bear it, he is in control of everything. And so we learn by this that our Heavenly Father is not going to damage us. He's not going to abuse us or make fun of us. His love, his parental care is so protecting. Even though at times we don't fully understand, or it can take us unawares, or it's a shock, or whatever it would be. But there is always a deeper purpose and a meaning. And that's why, of course, he spoke in parables. This, of course, upset the religious people. In other words, they say, "Well, why can't you just speak plainly so that we can all understand it?" You see? And the Lord wasn't going to do that, you see, because he's in his ministry, he is seeing before his eyes a remnant that has been called from the foundation of the world. He is seeing that flesh and blood does not reveal what he's sharing and speaking. He's seeing the Father's hand at work, a seed that he has given his Son to reap. I love all of that, because that bypasses all the hypocrisy, all the pride, the arrogance of those who believe, you know, that they have the truth and they know it all. And God has a way of bypassing. That's why I love the story of Mary Magdalene, the first to recognize Jesus's voice, because she thought it was the gardener until he spoke. And she heard, she recognized. Now, as I've said so often, those Pharisees doctrinally could have run rings around her. But what she had that they didn't have, she heard. "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me," as it says in John 10. And that is the key to this every time. So this is what we're talking about today. You see, God doesn't always take us to one side and explain things. There is a time when he takes us to one side and he explains. That is why the preaching of the gospel our meetings, the Word of God under the anointing being taught us is for that principle that he's going to explain things at the right time when we're both individually and corporately able to take it. That is how he's been doing this with us for all these years as an assembly. At the right time, we're able then to take it, to understand. You see, he explains why we're not able to understand, that we're not ready. You see, this process, in many ways, takes eternity. And the reason I say it takes eternity, because we are destined for eternity with God. And do you realize, saints, you are never going to stop learning in eternity? We can't really say every day, because days, weeks, months and years are for us. That's part of creation. In eternity, this is where it's so difficult to try and put the words in. But in eternity, we will ever be in the ever-present now. And in the ever-present now is where we will constantly be learning and learning and learning all the time. We will be in a continual revelation of God, never ending in eternity. Unlike those who will go to the lake of fire and brimstone, they will no longer have that revelation. What they will have is where they missed it. That will be the torment. But we learn throughout eternity. So in this life, God has to control that. That's held until we get into glory with him. So until then, we are learning under a process, as we are being changed from glory into glory. So the teaching that we are receiving today is the right teaching. This teaching for today would not have been appropriate last week. Wouldn't have been right. It is right for today. And this is the wonderful thing. This is why the Holy Spirit comes to teach us, to lead us and guide us by the Spirit. We have to be taught by the Spirit. The Spirit knows the mind of the Spirit of God. And that means the revelation, the understanding, our teaching, is everything is governed by the Spirit. This is why God is drawing a remnant back under the headship of Jesus Christ. Not under a man or an institution or an organization or a denomination. They do not experience what you are experiencing. When we are drawn back under the anointing, under the presence of Almighty God, then we are supernaturally fed, taught, because it is a work of the Spirit. So many Christians who call themselves Christians really have little understanding of this function. They just don't see it. But blessed are your eyes and ears, for you hear it and see it. You see? And this is how God teaches us. And so this process of learning is going to be right through eternity. Now we're experiencing it now. And when the Lord comes for us and we're called away, it will continue this process in eternity as well. And that's why it's so important from time to time that we examine ourselves. We know this very well, but turn me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians 13. And he says, from verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 13. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. He doesn't necessarily say examine yourselves whether you're actually in the truth.
Mm.
It is in the faith. Mm-hmm. Are you believing? Because the believing receives the truth. There are many who can hear the truth, but they don't mix faith with that which they hear. That is why faith comes by hearing the word of God. I make much of that, because that is the principle how it works. If you are receiving truth, it is of no use to you unless you are releasing faith, believing that what you are hearing. So examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. So that is what we're doing now. We are applying a test. And God is doing this through the teaching of the word. And there are times when we have to be honest before God in our closet. Lord, am I mixing faith with that which I hear? Because it is that that pleases you. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 10:6. So am I doing that? Sometimes we have to ask the Holy Spirit. We're examining ourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? There it is. This is why I always go on about Christ in you, the hope of glory. You live by his life. You live by his life that has been imparted to you through the new birth. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. That's what the apostle said. He said, I'm crucified. I'm identified with him. So this flesh life of me, the self life, dies daily for that life that lives now in me, that must take over. You see? Really, every day we're decreasing that he increases more and more. Living by the power of that life that lives in me. And it's appropriated by believing. No other way. You cannot do any works for this. And you've got Christians putting themselves back under the law, under commandments, under the Torah, all trying to work their socks off for this. You can't. It's a work of grace. It's a gift. And we examine ourselves in light of this. Indeed, you are disqualified. But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. So, in other words, we are justified. We are representative of Christ. We're not disqualified. We're not disqualified from this race. We're in it, running it, you see. And the apostle many times was having to reveal this to the churches. He's not revealing himself. He's revealing himself crucified in Christ. That is where he represents himself. Not in himself as it there, but the life that is in him manifesting to the saints. And that is what a preacher teacher does. If a preacher or teacher is truly called of God, he is representing that life that lives in him, that has anointed him, that has appointed him to be able to preach the gospel. That is what he represents. We've got it all wrong today. We're presented with these megastars, building these huge empires, begging for money. Some of them driving their fleet of cars, all designer wear and everything. Who are they kidding? And people fall for it all. And they think that's the anointing.
Yeah.
We've got it all wrong. No. A true minister called of God, he is representing that life that he submits to, that he's crucified to. That is what I give out, you see? And you don't get that overnight. I've had to learn that. God's had to open my eyes. He's had to show me when I'm ready to be able to receive it. And I know why. Had I seen this years back, I'd have run away from it. I couldn't do it. But you see how he's in control. The love and grace and mercy, the tenderness of our Father. Always at the right time, he reveals these things when we're able and ready to take it. That's why when we go through these trials, or something shakes us or shocks us to the core, as much as it is, we can hold on to the fact my Heavenly Father would not have allowed this to happen 2 weeks ago, a month ago, a year ago. I would not have been ready, but I am ready, as hard as it is. Because there's always a deeper purpose and a plan behind it. And I can tell you what it is. It is he's working his nature in you. That is what he's working. That is why we're being changed from glory into glory. And this is why we do not know ourselves. And this is what we're talking about today. We think we know ourselves. Psychiatrists think that they know the human heart, but they don't. Psychiatry can only take you so far. Why is it such a mystery? Because we're made in the image of God. That is why. God has placed himself, a reflection of himself, in you and I. How can you begin to work that out or understand that? That's why we worship God in spirit and in truth. And that is why he's the only one who can search the hearts. And he knows the heart. We don't know our own heart. We don't know what's in our heart next week, next year. That's why we have to call on the mercy of God. Lord, deliver me. Keep me. Keep me from the evil one. Keep me from temptations, as the Lord's Prayer says. I confess that every day. And I do that because I do not know what is in my heart. Until those trials come. And sometimes you think, wow, look what has manifested out of me. Where did that come from? Lord, deliver me. Have mercy on me. You know? And thank God he does. But what we're seeing is that that's better out than in. At least, okay, it may shatter us. It may, you know, they think, God, I am so ashamed. But then on the other side of it, thank the Lord, that's better out than that. And being hid to, and I couldn't see. You see? So there's always from the negative to the positive.
Amen.
Everything works together for good to them that love God, and to those who call according to his purpose, his will, his plan. Oh, he's got this under such control. It's wonderful. That's why we can rest by faith, you see? And that's why, you see, he is a master at revealing these hidden areas in our lives and characters. Because it's amazing how ignorant we are with regard to ourselves. We're ignorant to the fact that we can be impatient. We're ignorant to the fact that we can manifest jealousy. We're ignorant to the fact that we can manifest that pride, that laziness, or envy, or gluttony. Gossip, lying, or whatever it is. It's the trials that we come to that bring it out. But as I say, better out than in. And as much as this makes me feel so shameful, that I could have something like this still in me. Thank God he's manifested it. And he's brought it out into the light to confess it. Because I'll tell you what, the devil doesn't want you to do that. He wants to hold you in condemnation with all of that. And see, as we're getting delivered under this word, the deeper life, that means the enemy is losing control and hold over us. No wonder he doesn't like it. You see, he sees a lot more than we don't see, you see. Doesn't see like God does. But God sees what he's up to. God is always one step ahead of the enemy. His tactics, how he tries to trick us and beguile us and so on. And what does it? The sword of the Spirit. Amen. The word of God. Amen. That's what does it. Every time. Every time. As someone said, a saint said this, for grace to work, weakness first has to be recognized. For grace to work, weakness first has to be recognized. And we are weak. Make no bones about it, we are weak. Our strength lies in Christ and him alone. That is where my strength lies. It does not lie in me. And when you begin to recognize that, then you're aware grace is at work, working with us. And that's why the Lord will reveal to us everything that we have held within ourselves, within our hearts. He'll bring it all out when you're ready and bring it out into the light, into the surface. And you think yourself, gosh, I'm under a battle. Wow, there's things going on. I just don't understand. There's a turmoil. There's a warfare going on, you know. And just stay in there. Keep coming. Keep listening. And then eventually you come through. And you don't go under, as the enemy says that you're doing. But one of the reasons it takes such a time is because we're afraid to look in the inward parts. That's often why it takes a time. It's taken a time in my life because sometimes I've just been a bit afraid. I've just thought, I can't handle it. I can't face it, you know? Mm-hmm. But the Lord can. He can. Praise God. He's on the throne, is he not? There's only one who understands us, our Heavenly Father. And when you can get that from the head to your heart, yes, you can rest in him. You can rest in the Father's love. But where there's pride, Jesus, the Lord, has to deal with it. Because pride will stop you from hearing the word of God. We read it back to you, the parable. In Mark 4:34, why Jesus spoke in parables, because they were not dealing with that pride. That was the Pharisees' problem. They were offended, you see, because they were the people who, the religious people, who were teaching the people at that time. How dare this man, this carpenter, come and reprove us and expose us? You see? Yeah. And that's why he began to speak in parables. Because he said, God's sheep will hear that. And they do. They do. And that's why you see God, as he works with us, this is where we have to understand this. And get this from our heads to our hearts. This probably is the important part of this teaching. He's going to allow heartbreaks. He's going to allow disappointments until our intellectual pride is wounded. He has to wound that part within us. Yeah. And he's going to do it. You see, many things are shown when he gets us all one with him. In his presence. This is why There's nothing like a meeting. Because he says, where two or three gather together, there am I. This is why I always say a meeting, where the saints are online as well, there is a power that God places over his church, the meeting. This is why we have to be identified in his body. The body is important because there is healing and deliverance he places on the body that he does not place when you're on your own.
Yeah.
You know that as well as I do. When you go in your closet, he's dealing with you in a different way.
Yeah.
It's a personal, it's on a personal level, and it's absolutely right.
Yeah.
When we come together like this in a meeting, it's a corporal. And there is an empowerment that he places upon this that you do not have on your own in your closet. It's different. Because the gifts come into operation. You see, he's placed the gifts into the body of Christ. Not only the fivefold ministry to equip the saints, but he's equipped us with the gifts. Whether it's a word of wisdom or knowledge or healing or deliverance or whatever it is. That comes through the saints who move by the Spirit. This is why I always say everyone's presence in a meeting is vital for the meeting to happen. You are an expression, each of you, of the power of God working through you in the way that he wants to for his glory. That's why we're all in vital unity and oneness for this. You know, there are times we may not always be aware of this, and it's good to get that brought up from time to time because it shows how God works, you see, and in order to do that deliverance work within us. You know, God has a way where he can bring us to a point where you're just speechless. You haven't got any words with the way God works and what he's doing or what he's just done in my life. It's very difficult sometimes to try and describe to people about your life. I mean, I've said it before, try and tell someone, well, where are you going as a Christian? It's not easy to be able to put that in words. I can say, well, I am on my way to glory. That is my faith and everything. But you can't put a lot of detail to all of that. Unlike if you're going to go on a journey and you're going to go through certain towns and villages, you've got to go on this certain road and whatever it is. We can give all detail on journeys like that. But you try and give detail on your journey. You can't. Why? Because we walk by faith and not by sight. That's why, you see. And that's why God wants us to know the deeper things. Well, as we bring this to a conclusion, let's turn to John, the Gospel of John 14 and verse 24. 14 and verse 26, sorry, my apologies. John 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And that's what he means. Don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. Your Father has got the whole lot under control. Even though it doesn't make any sense. Even though it looks as though God has missed it. He's arrived too late. He's got everything under control. He said the Helper, the Comforter, the Paracletus, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. You're getting it direct from the throne of grace by those whom God calls, anoints, and sets into the true body of Christ.
Yeah.
That's how he does it. And that's why the Lord does this work in us. And you know why he does this work in us? Because there's still vast areas of stubbornness and ignorance in us that God still has to work. Oh, there are times when I think, Lord, how stubborn can I be? I've missed it a mile off today. And here I am, still able to confess his name. He reveals these things to us. But you see, the difference is with God's sheep, when it is exposed, when it is brought out into the light, we do exactly as we've read. We go before him. Lord, search me, try me, forgive me. This is horrible. This doesn't give glory to your name, you see? And there is the difference. It's those who hear it but do very little about it. That's where I'm always concerned. You see, he can't deal with us until we're willing to quit all our intellectual questions and get alone with him. You're never going to get to the God intellectually. Mm-hmm. Although we have an intellect, we have a brain, but it has to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Our minds have to be illumined to the revelation of God's word. In other words, your eyes, mind, heart, everything has to be opened supernaturally to the understanding of this word. And this is why it foxes so many people, because they're trying desperately intellectually to understand it. But it's wonderful how God does it. Let's turn also to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 to 12. And hear what the apostle says to the Corinthians here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 to 12. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what a man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God.
Mm.
What a promise there, eh? Isn't that wonderful? It's been given to us that we may know the things of God and not the things of the world, which man is trying desperately to understand. It's a gift. And finally, our last scripture, Psalm 139. Can't leave the Psalms out of this. Psalm 139 and verse 24, which you all know very well. Psalm 139, verse 24. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And how does he do it? Verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxieties. And that's what we do. That's what we started with in Corinthians. Examine ourselves. There's nothing wrong with that. Go before God and allow the Spirit to examine you. That's how you grow. He's got it all under control. He's not going to damage you. He's not going to keep telling you off and chastening you all the time, which the devil likes to suggest that he does. He asks us to do this. So if he asks us to do this, then his grace is going to be sufficient for that which you ask for. You know, if you're asking, Lord, search me, try me, know my heart, what's in me. Bring it out into the open. You've got to trust that God is in control of that. And he's going to have you completely in his hands. That's why we're the clay, he's the potter. And sometimes that wheel spins pretty quickly. And it looks as though we're all out of control. Everything's going from bad to worse. But sometimes the speed is needed by the potter in which to mould that clay. That speed's needed. He's in control every time. So we're quite ignorant, aren't we, about ourselves, saints? And that's why we trust the Lord and our faith is in him.
Amen.
Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you, Lord, you first loved us. We thank you, Lord, that nothing is a mistake with you. It's always a divine appointment, being drawn and brought into your presence. Father, I pray that this word that we have heard will not only glorify your name, but you will mold us into that which we've heard. As we just simply believe, we release that faith. We mix that faith with what we hear. And as you search our hearts, and we allow you to do that, Father, because we don't want to remain in ignorance, blindness. You're not going to damage us. You're not going to make fun of us. You're not going to belittle us like man does. You gently, lovingly, with those tender hands, Lord, mold us into the image of your Son. How could we doubt? And so we thank you, Father. Lord, bless, preserve, keep each one of us. Lord, preserve and keep all the saints who come in online today, wherever they are around the world. Give your angels charge. Guide those footsteps, Lord. May they be worshippers in spirit and in truth. Grant them to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. And Father, I pray that each day you may manifest more and more the life of your Son, Jesus Christ, in each one of us. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. And the trees of the field shall clap their hands.
The trees of the field shall clap their hands.
And the trees of the field shall clap their hands. As you go out with joy, you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy. And the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And you'll go out with joy. And the trees around my provider is grace is sufficient for me. For me, for me, Yahweh Jireh, my provider is grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. He gives his angels charge over me. Yahweh Jireh cares for me, for me, for me. Yahweh Jireh cares for me. Yahweh Jireh cares for me. For me, for me, Yahweh Jireh cares for me. Oh, bless you, Lord. Praise your name. Mighty God, you care for us, Father. Wonderful.